I love it when a plan comes together and you weren't aware of the plan. A few weeks ago, I sat down and just asked the Lord, you know what? Coming into a new year, that means different things to different people. You know, how would you approach that? And I wrote down two things, and one of them I preached last week, and the other one I'm going to preach this week. So I wrote this a little bit ago. And then with what happened this morning, I could have had a subtitle based on what happened this morning. And what I entitled what you have is Remember, Realize, Relish, and Receive. I haven't done an alliterative title for a couple of weeks. But hope you can get out of what we talk about today and the passage that we look at is that by remembering and realizing and relishing and receiving, those are ways we fight the battle. And these are tools in the toolbox for fighting the battle. And that's why I waited till this week to speak this, but I didn't know that until this week. Isn't it good? I mean, that's fun to me. For you, you just think he's windy. But when you do this and you live this, man, this is significant that he puts stuff together for you. So, Lord, thank you that you've put something together for us. I pray that we'd be able to release it in a fashion that's not just helpful, but empowering. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Psalm 103, not an unfamiliar passage, but you might see some things here that you hadn't caught before, hope so. And I was kind of dutifully reading some weeks ago, and I thought, this is exactly what I should say. So this is a posture for coming into the new year. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read to you the paragraph that I started your outline with. What is your mindset, your heart posture as you enter a new year? There are a bevy of undesirable issues and happenings in the world around us that could fill us with anxiety, concern, and fear about the days ahead. I think the Bible provides us with the most dependable and empowering outlook to enter the new year. And so I would offer that or this as an outlook for the new year. Psalm 103, we're going to look at the first five verses first. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Man, I like that verse. Which is to say, what we already had spoken to us this morning, that you haven't peaked yet, right? I mean, that's exactly what that talks about. So this is about remembering. How do you start a new year? You do it by remembering. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless with everything I got. Don't forget what he's done. Don't forget who he is. If you don't carry a sound, grounded idea of who God is and what he's done for you, you won't do as well in the year to come as you might do. And sometimes, especially if 2018 was more of a disappointment than it was an encouragement to you, you might be thinking, oh my God, is it going to be worse than last year? And I always tell anybody, no, it's not, unless you think it is. And your perception, your outlook, has a whole lot to do with it. So I love the way the Amplified says the first verse. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. The Amplified says, bless, affectionately, gratefully, praise. That's just pretty good for you. That's like vitamins in the morning. You know, it really is. Because it's, I think it's 10,000 Reasons that's Matt Redman. He just says, it's time to sing the song again. Right? I mean, this is time. And what was it? It's tomorrow. And tomorrow it's time to sing the song again. To honor, bless, appreciate, affectionately, be grateful. So bless, affectionately, gratefully, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me, praise his holy name. All that is deepest in me. This means somewhere beyond my thoughts and my feelings. Not without my thoughts and my feelings, but from the depths of me, from the essence of my heart. And I quoted Psalm 51 in your outline, because this is it says it so clearly. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in a state of iniquity. My mother was sinful who conceived me, and so am I. Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. So make me therefore to know wisdom in my inmost heart." This is beyond information. This is beyond a cognitive thing. It's in addition to a cognitive thing. It's not wrong to have a great deal of information, but the idea is here, I want you to calibrate me on the inside so that I better appreciate you and what you're doing for me. I want you to attenuate me, tweak me on the inside so I get it. So I get, if I were a honeybee, I'd be getting all the nectar out of the flower. You know what I'm saying? I'm extracting everything you want me to out of the goodness that you show me so I don't just pass on by, so that I don't miss it. You know, fix my sniffer so I smell it all. Attenuate my hearing so I hear it all. Sharpen my eyes so I see what you're doing. It's those kinds of things. Because what it says there in Psalm 51 about your innermost being, this isn't just in a way that I can collectively recall. No, it's about, I've been imprinted. Image of Jesus is on my spirit. Image of God is imprinted deep within me. My name is in His hands, and when I close my eyes, I can see it. You know what I mean? Well, that's dramatic. Well, it is. Things that are happening in here. He said, I want to know you that way, and I want to know that I know you that way. Because when I know you that way, people will want to know how to know you. To me, that's what that means. So he's saying, deep in here, that's why I like that verse in the Amplified, all that is deepest within me, I just don't want to do the cursory thing. Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my kids. I didn't get this far, but one day, it hasn't been that long ago, I pulled my car into the garage as it was raining real bad. And I thanked God for my garage. I pulled in my garage 300 million times, and I had never thanked God for my garage. But that day I realized, I went several years and I didn't have a garage. The first one I got was detached, which is like good for the car, not good for me. You know, I mean, it's saving the car a lot of wear and tear, not me. When I was carrying the groceries, I was still doing it through the snow and the rain and all that kind of stuff. And I thought of it yesterday. I laughed at myself. I had to shovel snow yesterday, and each scoop weighed about 90 pounds. There was so much slush in that stuff, you know. And I've had a little back trouble now and then. I'm going, I hope that didn't. And I did it early so I could go to the prayer meeting and got home. I had to do it again, And then the wonderful guy that does our cul-de-sac put about 800 pounds of snow in my driveway. Pieces so big that I could have had a snowman. It's like they dissected a snowman and put it piece by piece in my driveway. Couldn't get it in the shovel. I had to pick the stuff up and carry it. And so I was not blessed. And I went in and I got all sweaty and stuff. I took a shower, and it occurred to me later, I don't think I've ever thanked God for my driveway. And I thought, I should have said maybe thank God I had a driveway to shovel. I'll let you do that. I didn't do that. But see, that's a cursory thing. Deep in here, there are times I think, man, thank you, Lord, that but for the grace of God, go I. When you see somebody that's hurting or on the street or something like that, they may not be any worse in their heart than you were. Now the favor of the Lord is just God loves people and but it rains on the just and the unjust. We could get into a whole bunch of stuff. What I'm saying is the level of appreciation needs to step up in me. I'd love to be able to appreciate it deep in here. I get to mess around. I got to watch football with my granddaughter yesterday. That's really cool. There's a day when I will so look back and say, you didn't appreciate that as deeply. Because when I'm not cool to her anymore, That'll never happen. But anyway, what I'm saying is there's a means of appreciating the goodness of God. How many times have you heard these verses from Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Man, David's saying, this is a good exercise. This is something I need to do, and I need to know how to do it from a level that's beyond just what pops out of my mouth. And so I think that's a great way of approaching the new year. Lord, one of the ways I fight battles is to recognize I am my beloved's and he is mine. I mean, we're in this thing together. That's pretty good news, isn't it? And so David, pressing in, says, I just want it to come from way down in here, my inmost heart. And then to finish out Psalm 57 there, he says, purify me with hyssop, and I'll be ceremonially clean. Wash me, and I shall in reality be whiter than snow. So there's a thing that you do because it's a thing that you do, right? Ceremonially clean you. You can come and do communion. It's a ceremonial thing. This is what we do. First week of every month, we take communion. It's the right thing. But if I have an experiential thing, if it's in the deepest part here, I walk away knowing I'm whiter than snow. Wow. Do I deserve to be treated whiter than snow? Not part of the program. Doesn't matter. Not a requirement. It's that my life is hidden with Christ in God. And so, am I ceremonially clean? Yes, in the sense, he's talking the Old Testament sense that the priest had done the forgiving and stuff. But when you do it, when I know I'm cleansed by the blood, I walk away whiter than snow. I don't know about you, I drove around a little bit yesterday. The trees were amazing. Especially the ones that weren't broken. But they were just so beautiful in that white, and just everything was just, 6 o'clock yesterday morning, it was just wow. It's crazy good. It was snow globe good, you know. It really was. And I'm going, I don't appreciate that because I'm trying to navigate it. But to look like that, do you know how different the trees looked yesterday when they were white as snow? Whole different reality. That's communion. Come on. As different as that looked, as majestic as that looked, as wonderful as that was, better than a plain old tree, when you really get the fact that he's cleansed you by the blood, it's like that. And he sees us like that. On the 4th of July, he sees us. Like that. I'm just going to stop here and tell you, that's pretty good preaching right there. I mean, Lord, show me that in those trees. And I'm going, oh, wow. Thank you. I want to say thank you from that point. And on the 4th of July, I want to be able to thank you from that point. Because that whiter than snow doesn't change with the temperature. He doesn't fluctuate. He is the same in season. And out of season. Isn't that cool? So he said, and now I want to bless you from that point. I want to bless you from that paradigm, from that perspective, from that posture of heart. And when the enemy comes messing with me, I want to fight back from that point. I want to say, you want to go with this? You want to talk to me about what a lousy sinner I am? Go right at it, because I've given myself to him. And when I confess it and he forgives me, I'm like this. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, buddy. So it is a way that we fight our battles. Now, the message says it a little differently. I'll read this to you real quick. He says, oh, my soul, bless God. From head to toe, I'll bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. See, he's in remembrance. He's remembering what God's done for him. He forgives your sins, every one. He heals your diseases, every one. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. And he renews your youth. This is a great statement. He renews your youth. In his presence, you're always young. Come on. Anybody over 19, I'd be pretty happy about that. There's a vitality in knowing God like that. Now, you can't be silly, you know. If you're like me and you're over 40, you... What? Sorry. See, I just want to know if you're paying attention. Okay, over 39. But there's a way of approaching God that is not necessarily connected to directly to your season of life. I think David danced before the Lord at 40 probably better than he did at 80, but I think he probably still did. And when his feet didn't, his heart did.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Are you with me? And so he said, in the presence of God, you're always young. There's a sense in which, in the presence of God, you're always peaked. Because it's not reliant on your ability. It's not reliant on even on your holiness. It's all about his. Right? And so, in the presence of the Lord, you're always young. I think that's really cool. And it goes straight down the list. All your sins are forgiven, all the... Wow, bang, 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 bang. And you need to carry that as a remembrance. Now, some people say, no, you got to forget the past. Listen, when your past is mine, you want to forget it. But see, when your life's hidden with Christ in God, it's timeless. So his forgiveness is as fresh. Mercies are new every morning. It's as fresh as the first day you received it. The love of God is as deep as the first time you ever tasted it. Compassions of the Lord are as warm and welcoming as they were the first time you ever knew it. In fact, is what Betsy told us this morning, it gets better. Your ability to accept and appreciate and experience that gets better because he proves it through good times and bad. I mean, right? I mean, God was cool in the 80s. Right? And in the 90s. You know, there are good things happened in God all over the place in those times too. And he hasn't forgotten how to do that, and he hasn't peaked. And we have to be able to lay hold of that, remember that, carry those kinds of things in us and with us. So you are always young in his presence. So think about Joshua and Caleb. You know the story about Joshua and Caleb? Everybody else dies in the wilderness of their generation. And now, after 40 years, they get to go have their promise in the promised land, and they're 80, like chronologically 80. And it said they were still as strong as they were when they were 40. That's what it says. Caleb says, give me my mountain. Get out the way. Here I come. I've stayed faithful with God. God stayed faithful with me. And they had not discovered the fountain of youth, but they had simply discovered the founder of life. And it's their relationship with the founder of life. That's in your outline, by the way. That caused them to be vital, to have vitality. Now, the Bible doesn't say much. It said they were as strong at 40 as they were at 80. I don't know what that means. I will tell you this. They were 80. Right? And so... I don't know, probably had some bags under the eyes. I mean, but they did not shrink back from walking in the promise of the Lord. So they knocked on the door at 40, but they didn't get to walk through it until 80. And the hinges creaked on the door, but they didn't. That's hot off the press. Right? And they were able to go fulfill the calling of God in their life. Did he save the best for last? Sounds like it. See, the best is when your time and God's timing intersects. So what he really saves for last is the last. But when it's the best thing to happen, it's the timing of God and the time of man intersecting, colliding, coming together. And there's nothing higher than that. The right thing, the right time, the right place, right? What's that? That's completion. That's fulfillment. That's will of God. Well, it doesn't matter what year that is. No, it matters until you get there. You know, waiting is hard to do, isn't it? And waiting a long time is harder than hard to do. But it just, there's an increase of the fullness, the sweetness that happens too. So the grace to experience it is increased. And it's like, God's an amazing eraser of time. He is. It just, phew, you know. I don't know how long it took to walk across the Red Sea, but if I'm an Israelite dude and I can see the Egyptian army behind me, I'm booking as fast as I can go, and I'm thinking it's taken a long time to get across there. No, it's just the appropriate amount of time. That's how miracles work. They're just God showing up in the appropriate amount of time. And until then, it looks like, oh, crud. We are circling the bowl, you know. It just, because they didn't, it wasn't like, well, that sea thing doesn't open, we'll do this. No. If that sea thing doesn't open, the movie is short. I mean, it's, right? God is always, listen to me, God is always at his best. Because he's perfect. And he just can't find any other way to be. And it means, well, Lord, you're not talking to me. I don't see your hand. What's going on? And what's going on is the fullest expression to us of his best needs to happen at the right time. But he's always at his best. Am I not right? He said, no, the Lord had the flu and he was gone those 2 weeks. No. He was taking a break from the Western Hemisphere for 2 weeks. No. He's constantly, mercies are new every morning. He never changes. So he is always at his best. And so when you find him, you'll always find him that way. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I don't want to forget any of his benefits. I want to remember what he has done so I can walk in the strength of what he has done for me. And so remembering isn't just it. We need to remember what he's done and then realize that those things just don't have past tense implications. They have ongoing implications. I mean, I'm glad I was forgiven on Saturday, but I need to realize the same God forgives me on Tuesday when I need it. I need to recognize that he made a sacrifice for me and it just didn't go away when Christmas was gone. And then the next step, and this is one that kind of interests me a little more. I mean, I'll talk on this a little bit more. But I said, Lord, what else you got to say about that? And instantly I wrote down the word, I want you to relish what I've done. I'm thinking, you know, the first thing I'm thinking of is what you put on a hot dog, you know? Well, not really. I know what it meant. But I thought, that's really cool because the idea of relishing is enjoying the moment, carrying the enjoyment in the moment. And you say, well, yeah, Jesus forgave me of my sins. Really? Really? And you can have a clear conscience every day of your life? I mean, really? And you don't have to carry the concern about hell and all that stuff. And that's not a passive thing. You need to relish the moment. You need to recognize, oh, man, there are people who would love to be able to have a clear conscience. There are people who would love to have some measure of peace of mind as it pertains to the future. We got it. And relishing it means I recognize it for what it really is, and I'm going to enjoy in a moment. Well, yeah, but I don't have this and this. Yeah, but you had to get this to have this and this. You know what I'm saying? So the enjoyment, the appreciation, and the celebration of what he's done, it's really a significant thing because it helps you in between the peaks of noticeable, intentional enjoyment or celebration that, oh, I'm a card-carrying member of the family of God. He calls me his son. I have an inheritance. Right? Fact is, it's hard for you to believe in me. But he says, we're the righteousness of God. Well, I don't know if I get that. No, you got it. You may not get it, but you got it. That's what he told me one day. Well, you don't know what you're waiting to get it for. I gave it to you. You got it. You haven't got it, but you got it. You understand what I'm saying? So realizing what this thing means about new life in Jesus, about our life being hidden in Christ and God, about having both a destiny and a destination, those things are real and right and true now. And so in this beginning of a year, that's a great way to set your focus. It's a great way to say, man, all that and heaven too, right? And we're not done here yet. There's stuff. We're not done here yet. He's got more for us. Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord performs righteous deeds. Performs. Like he has done and he is continuing to do so. Performing righteous deeds. And righteous judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. This is one of those early things the Lord showed me a million years ago that just kind of, I mean, it really caught my attention, because his ways are different than his acts. Moses knew things about God that Israel didn't know. Right? In fact, as he even said, listen, all that stuff with the lightning and the fire hitting the mountains and everything, you go talk to him and you come and tell us what he said. That's what they said. That's what the nation said to him. He said, okay. So Moses was bringing the word of the Lord to the people and telling them the ways of God because he knew it. Knew him face to face, the Bible says. And it said, so the nation of Israel, the people of God, they knew about the acts of God. But Moses knew his ways, his nuances. He knew what it means. Did one of your parents ever raise one eye at you like that? I never knew what it meant, but it scared the heck out of me. I mean, I knew it meant shut up or quit doing that, you know. But that was a little nuance. My mother could look you down when I was in church. She could stare you down in a way. My mother's like 4'11". And I'd be sitting as far away from her as I could sit on the pew, and her arm was like 19 feet long. Somehow she could tweak the back of my ear. I don't know how it happened. But when you know somebody really intimately, nonverbal communication is quite effective, right? You can know the disposition of someone's heart. Moses knew the disposition of God's heart. Israel only knew the showing of his hand. Now that's not bad, to know the showing of his hand, but there's a way of knowing the disposition of the heart of God. And I think that's significant. I know people who have had a dog or cat for a very long time, and they can know by the sound the cat or the dog makes or the way they twist their head, oh, needs to go outside. When did you get the text? I mean, how do you? But they know it from heart-connected familiarity. God and Moses had a heart-connected familiarity, and he knew his ways. I just think that's a great posture to take and to enjoy in the moment. So Moses got to know his ways. Israel, the people of God, knew his acts. Here's what it's like, it says. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. That's a good one. I've been real appreciative of that on certain occasions, that he's slow to anger. Are you always slow to anger with your children? Don't raise your hand. Have you always been slow to anger with your children? He's a father. I also was a son, and I did things that would have provoked a parent to anger. I realize none of you have ever done that. But just think about how patient sometimes your parents should have been, and sometimes they were. And the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with this. You're going to get to the bottom of things. And he will not keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Hallelujah. Nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's about as far as you can get. Now, we read this time, and I've read this like you many, many, many times. But here's how I've read it this time. He slowed me down, and I saw two things in it. So great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. here's how some people read it. I never knew that till just now. I mean, just in the last few days. Some people read it this way. So far, he's removed my transgressions from me. I mean, so far, so I haven't crossed the line. I haven't gone too far. Because so far, he's forgiven me. And I thought, well, he knows that because he hears people say that. I thought, oh, wow. That's a horrible way to face a new year. Well, so far, so good. But I don't know. I could screw up worse. And maybe he'd run out of, you know, red ink. Maybe it wouldn't go far enough for me. So far. No. He's not like that. He's compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Wow. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He himself is mindful of our frame and mindful that we are but dust. So he has a very sober view of humanity because he knew how it got here, right? I put in your outline a little statement that I think might be helpful to you. He's mindful of our frame and of the picture that fills the frame. So he knows what we are like, and he also knows what we look like. Which is to say, he's not fooled by either one, but he also knows us intimately. And he knows we are but dust. That's what the scripture says, that we are but dust. My friend Leroy used to say it this way. He says, you know, when it comes to people, we ain't nothing but a bunch of mud huts. You're just a mud hut. I thought that's pretty cool. And he referred to people as mud huts frequently. Before he told me that, I thought, man, you're cruel, dude. You know? He said, no, I said, this is just a mud hut, just made out of dirt. I thought, that's really good, Leroy. So I told him I would steal it. I did, but I'm giving him credit for it. And so the Lord knows, I know from whence you've come. I may know exactly what you're like, and I also know your destiny. I also know what I got planned in the days ahead to conform you to the image of my Son. I know what I have in front of you, that when you touch it, it's going to change you and you're going to change others because of it. And so you're not just a mud hut. These things are going to go away one of these days. In fact, there's some erosion that's happening already. Just kindly speaking. Well, he says, this is going away, this is wasting away, but in here, something's happening in here that's actually getting newer and newer. That's what it says. So, what do I do with this mud hut? Well, you give it to the one who made the dust. Right? And you recognize what he's like. He's compassionate, he's kind, he's altogether wise, he gets it, he knows it, he's not fooled, he's not deceived. He doesn't just say, oh, well. No, he has a plan, and he has a purpose, and he knows what we're like. I kind of like the way that the Lord approaches things, him being eternal, us being not so eternal, eternal on the inside but not on the outside. This is passing away, and so he's able to deal with us in a manner to make things work right. The message says it this way. This is verse 8. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work and opened up all his plans to Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered, and he's rich in love. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how strong his love is. As far as the sun rises from the sunset, he's separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. Isn't that good? as children have parents that care for them, even when they're not aware of it, even when they don't appreciate it, God feels for his kids. That's pretty strong. That's just pretty strong. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it isn't anymore, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Some versions say upon. But the loving kindness of the Lord is everlasting on those, upon those who fear him. And to those who keep his covenant and remember to do them. Message says it this way. Men and women don't live very long. Like wildflowers, they spring up and blossom, but a storm snuffs them out just as quickly, leaving nothing to show that they were here. Well, that's humbling, isn't it? God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present to all those who fear him, making everything right for them and their children as they follow his covenant ways and remember to do what he said. Isn't that good? His love doesn't go away. He doesn't go away. It can't go away. We need to remember that. We need to realize, in other words, live in the reality of that and relish it. Enjoy it. Like, get all the nectar out of the flower. Because he's intended to bless us. And when we feel that, know that, and recognize that, we're much more prone to be blessing the Lord. Right? From that place on the inside. And then, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I want to touch the last word that I have on the title. There's some things we need to receive. It's not just about remembering or realizing or relishing. There's some things we need to receive. And this one's a little harder because we're less familiar with it. Verse 19 of Psalm 103. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. So he's in charge. Bless the Lord, you his angels. So now he's talking to angels. Well, we don't trust people who say they talk to angels. But David's an angel talker. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who are mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts. Angels are the hosts of the Lord. You who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So he's saying, bless the Lord, you as angels. Why is he blessing angels? Well, he's really saying, no, angels, you bless the Lord. But he's speaking of what the angels need to do. Psalm 104, verse 4 says, he makes the winds his messengers, flaming fires his ministers. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 in the New Living says, and God never said to any of the angels, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. No, he said that to Jesus. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who inherit salvation. God set it up that angels are supposed to be here caring for, serving, ministering to people. If you are people, you qualify. And he says, and angels are not superior to people. As a matter of fact, in the end times, it says that people judge the angels. Right? It's kind of like a performance review. How'd they do taking care of people down here? And so, well, what's this got to do with receiving anything? I think we oftentimes cry out for a lot, Lord, I need your help. And the Lord said, okay, I'll send some helpers. I need your help. There are times when he dispatches the helpers, angels, to a situation. Well, how do you know that? Well, I don't have an angel thermometer, you know. It's going off, must be an angel. I don't. But I recognize that the word of the Lord says that angels were created. And one of the purposes of their creation was to come and help us walk this thing out down here. Thank you. Now, that's what it says. How do they do it? Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Although, if we took time, and I haven't done this for a long time, but taught a series on angels before, and you slow down, sometimes the Lord sends the word of the Lord by angels. He can do that. But in these last days, he's spoken through his son. You know, so we have the Holy Spirit. So it sounds to me, and he's called the helper. And so the angels would be the helper's helpers. Huh? Are we good? So when we're praying in the Spirit, when we're cooperating with the Word of God, one of the things that I think we can do to give, I say it this way, to get the angels off the unemployment line, because they're sent forth to help us, well, they can be released by God, but I think some of it is like David, he's speaking to the angels. You guys who are mighty in strength to perform the Word of God. That's what he calls angels, mighty in strength to perform the Word of God. That's one of the reasons I pray the Bible. If I'm praying the Word of God, I'm giving something for the angels to obey. Hello? Now, this isn't that hard. But, well, that's one of the reasons really to pray the Word of God. I'm giving them something to do because that's what they do. They were created to do that. And they obey the voice of the Lord. So if I'm giving voice to the Word of God, I'm giving something, they can pick it up. They can get engaged. They can get involved. Is that too spooky for you? Good, because it's what it says. Well, how do I know they do that? Well, if it works, maybe that, you know what I'm saying? But it says sometimes we receive, we've entertained angels unaware. In other words, the Lord ministered to us angelically. We just didn't know it was an angel doing it. Yes. Well, they don't get stripes. I mean, you know, this is not about rank and file. They've already got their order set from God. So they're not trying to outdo one another, getting God's attention. Because their fulfillment is to do what the Bible says they do, which is to minister to those of us who are the heirs of salvation, to hear, listen to, obey the voice of the Word of God. Now, God gives voice to his word, but he gives it to us to give voice to, too. So part of the way the Holy Spirit helps us, I think, when we pray, is to prompt us to pray the Word of God, so it can include angelic assistance. I'm only saying that because I'm not so sure everybody gets in on that. I'm not so sure I get in on it. But I have, for many, many years, long time, have prayed the Word of God and prayed these verses, releasing angels to do what the Bible says they can do. Now, they don't work for me. They minister to and serve people like us. They work for him. But we're in the family. Right? And he's entrusted us with his word. Right? And he's told us to pray. Right? So you put those things together. This is not out of order. Fact is, this is pretty basic Christianity. And look at how angels have been involved. Look through the Bible. The angels have been, they're doing stuff all over the place. Right? And when Wes even quoted the verse today, they're more with us than those who are against us. What's he talking about? Angels. That's what the passage is. The prophet's servant's eyes got open and saw all these flaming warriors were the angels of God. And, you know, a third of the angels fell, so that means two-thirds of them are still there, so there's way more angels than there are demons. Way, way, way. Now, we talk about demons all the time. We don't talk about angels because we can't figure it out. They're just the good guys who don't like the bad guys. And they're the blessed ones who oppose the evil ones. Right? I put a couple quotes in here about angels that are pretty good. Billy Graham says this: angels have a much more important place in the Bible than the devil or his demons. Aquinas says, angels mean messengers and ministers. Their function is to execute the plan of divine providence even in earthly things. So these guys kind of knew. And the last time I checked, Billy Graham was not a flaming charismatic or Pentecostal. In fact, he's a Baptist guy. And he trusted and utilized the ministry of angels. So, oh, you pastor's getting spooky. No. I've been spooky a long time. I'm not getting spooky. The reality is this. We want everything he has to give us. We do not want to frustrate You know what I'm saying? The grace of God. We want to honor the grace of God. We want to honor the Word of God. And the Word of God says you can pray, and you can use this verse. I have prayed this verse thousands of times, addressing angels as those who are mighty in strength, who perform his word and obey the voice of his word. And here I am, I'll just say, I'm giving voice to the word of God. I release you to do your God-given assignment. Well, how do you know when it happens? I just know that unless the Lord's doing all the enlisting, I'm not taking advantage of one of the benefits he gave us. He said, I want you to remember all my benefits. Isn't that what he says? Oh, the Lord, bless you. Help me remember all your benefits. You forgive all my sins. You heal all my diseases. Well, one of the benefits is that he's released angels to us. And so I'll bet you haven't started a year saying, wouldn't it be good to have angels on my side? Well, they are on your side. Well, how do you know? Do you think they really exist? Yeah? It says when Jesus fought the devil in the wilderness, that after 40 days, the angels came and ministered to him. Come on. Doesn't it? Right? Well, if they could minister to Jesus, you should think they could do a thing or two for you or me. If Jesus received the ministry of angels, I don't know. I don't think I want to do that. I think I do. If he needed it or wanted it or ordered it or had it received it from the order of God because this was good for him at the end of that period of time, then you know what? That would be a good thing for me. And so I'm not trying to be strange or unusual. I'm saying, you know, let's gather ourselves. Let's remember what God's done for us. Let's realize he really means it. Let's enjoy it. Let's, yes, Lord. And then let's receive not just what he has done for us, but based on what he's done for us, what he wants to do with us and for us. I think that's the safest way to enter, smartest way to enter New Year. Why don't we stand together? I'm going to pray for us, but I'd like to do this. In fact, let's do this first. Anybody that would like to be prayed for any reason, why don't you just slip into the aisle? There's plenty of room. If you're in the middle, people will let you out. For any reason you'd like to be prayed for, and then we'll let people come and pray with you. So if you'd like to be prayed for, if you want to say, hey, I want to identify with angels helping me, whatever it might be, just as I'm praying, you just slide out into the aisle. Father, we thank you that you've gathered with us today on a real crummy day on the outside when a lot of us are really excited about what's happened in the realm of professional sports in our city, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we watched a three-hour battle, and the good guys won. And Lord, we want to take advantage of the fact that you've said that in this world we will have tribulation. There is a battle. There is a conflict because the enemy can't help but be the enemy. But we also recognize that in your word you've decreed that angels would come and be the ministers to those of us who inherit salvation. And so, Lord, we just don't want to overlook. I was struck by this when I read it again this time. We don't want to forget any of your benefits. And so, Lord, if you said it's important, whether I realize it's important or not, I'm going with what you say. It's important. It's important. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you cause the significance of what we've looked about today to be personally significant to us in the way that you want it to? And we will agree with you. Now, Lord, for people who need their hearts healed and they need 2019 to be different than 2018, or they're not so sure their heart's going to survive, I pray for the winds of the Spirit to come and breathe on them today. We pray for angelic assistance to them today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, just look up and look around and see that there are people standing. There appears two ladies here. Let's get some people around these people to pray there. And if you want to join others who are being gathered around, please do that. And I'll pray a little bit more, then you guys can just be released to pray. Because part of the plan of God is for the body of Christ to minister to the body of Christ. Right? And so, Lord, would you come now? And if you're desiring prayer, stick your hand up in the air so people know who to go to as people are looking around. Father, we want to thank you that you know and see and care about what confronts us, about the difficulties that we find ourselves with. And Lord, you want to rejoice over people who are celebrating. Some people just want to say thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God that's touching them in ways. And I know others are in distraught for situations they're facing, and they can't see the way out. And for some of us, Lord, we can't look in and see what you're doing. And I pray that you would put our minds at peace, helping us recognize how you are involved, how you are engaged, what you might be doing. Lord, what we've heard today in our gathering together is that you're really good, you're compassionate, you're kind, you're slow to anger, you are dismissive of what we have confessed to you. And you want to engage us in an ongoing fashion so that we'll be able to bless you from the very depths of our being. Lord, would you touch people today that will further that reason and further that cause in the hearts and minds of men and women? I want to read you something that I wrote in my journal this morning, just real quick, this one paragraph, because I thought it was really interesting. I knew what I was going to talk about today. And I said, Lord, how would you speak to me today? And the Lord said, step into the environment of my corporate presence. That's what we're in right now. And use my word released in my presence to empower people to do the nuts and bolts of daily life in the atmosphere of the righteousness, peace, and joy that in the Holy Spirit that is the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to stand before you today and say, praying the Bible and praying what the Bible says is nuts and bolts. This is some of the most normal thing we can do, even though we talked about enlisting angels today. Knowing the Bible, praying the Bible, is foundational to our life in God. So, and it's what, in the midst of your presence, Lord, you empower us to do the main and plain things of Monday through Sunday. You empower us to do the things that seem mundane, but they are done in your presence, done for your purpose. It says it's your kingdom, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We want to live that way, we want to walk that way, and we want to be open doors for others to do the same. So touch everybody this morning, Lord, in the exact way that they need to. And we honor you today. You've helped us, given us fresh courage to fight our battles, to see you as you are. We haven't peeked out, we haven't pooped out. We can be always young in your presence, and because you're the best and you never change, the best is yet to come. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.